I'm going to read the whole text first. If you want to just clip along the PowerPoint and keep the words up there, and then we'll go back to the beginning. Stay dressed for action. Keep your lamps burning and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready for the Son of Man. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat his male and female servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved the beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be entrusted. And from him whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you would guide us to understand your word and live it out day by day as we seek to follow you. Lead us, Lord God, in Jesus' name, amen. One day, all of this is coming to an end. I wake up in the morning, I make my coffee, I read God's word, and I pray. Monday to Sunday, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. And it all seems to continue lockstep, the same thing one after another. Spring, summer, fall, winter, and back again since the beginning of the world. All seems to continue as always, and yet change is coming. One time, giant lizards roam the earth, and yet change comes for us all. Change is coming. One day, God will split the skies, and Jesus will appear, and everything that we know will be changed in an instant. Oh, I don't know when. In fact, that's kind of the point of what Jesus is saying here. But I do know this, the end is nearer than when we first believed. Jesus is warning us of his return. And because of this, he gives us a command to stay dressed for action. Now, that's a weird word, and it's even weirder if you have like an older translation of the Bible that's going to have gird up your loins, which seems really weird. And Kari made me promise not to do this in a sermon again because it looks so weird, but if you have a robe and you want to go running in your long robe, you know, back then they all wore bathrobes, like the movies. It was sort of like robe things. You want to run and robe. You couldn't just go put on your shorts because they weren't going to be invented yet for quite a while. What you did was you took your robe and you pulled it up between your legs and you tied it around front. Now, it looked exactly like a diaper, also would not be invented yet for quite some time, so no one would make fun of them for how ridiculous it looked to us. But the thing is, when you were girded up, your legs were free so that you could run. The other option was running naked, but Jewish people didn't do that. That's what the Romans did. But so what Jesus is telling us here is our Christian lives are not supposed to be passive waiting for things to happen, but it's a life to be run. The name of the sermon is called Running Towards the Dawn. It comes from a Greyhaven song. And sometimes Christians are criticized to be, you heard the too heavenly minded to be of any earthly good. The Christians are just sitting there waiting for God to rescue them out of this wretched age. But Jesus says quite the opposite. That if you know Jesus is coming, your mission is to be running and active. There is no room for the passive Christian who sits at home just waiting for God to do stuff, because Jesus has commanded, be ready to run. Keep your lamps burning. Now that's like, it doesn't say keep your lamps lit. Like the word literally, burning, which is an intensity of it. And every time you see light in the Bible, it's usually reminiscent of good works, and I'm pretty sure it is here, that you're to be ready because Jesus is coming. So your light best be shining, and you be living the kind of life that you're not going to be so embarrassed of when Jesus shows up. When that dawn of Jesus Christ comes, it will be a beautiful thing to those who are running towards it. The lamps of our life lit high, living in active obedience towards Him in all things. Be ready. And Jesus gives a couple of parables, and the first is, and be like men who are waiting for their master, literally Lord, to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. And so this is obviously a picture of Jesus who has gone away after his resurrection, and he's going to come back at some time when they don't awake. And it's like a master going to a wedding feast. Now, the thing about weddings in the ancient world, like most things in the ancient world, is they didn't really use clocks or time or have very fixed schedules. And the wedding could last 2 days, could last 3 days, could last the better part of a week. And so, if you're one of the servants waiting at home, you don't know when your master is coming, but one thing you do know is that when he comes and knocks on the gate, you don't want to be sleeping and let your master be sitting out in the dark for too long, because if you do, you're probably going to get whipped or tongue-lashed or however they did things back then, probably whipped. We don't know when Christ is coming back. And because of this, we need to be living our lives always at the ready. Loins girded, lamp lit, running towards the dawn, so that when Jesus comes back, we are in a state fit for his return. Now the promise here, and it's a good promise, Blessed are those servants who come. And so this is the positive side, is that there is a blessing for those who are ready and who are expectant for his return. Because this is the thing, and this is when he writes this, is that we have this feeling like things, you know, it's just long off, things are going to come, but when it comes, it will come quickly. Jesus says, behold, I am coming quickly. Truly, I say to you, for those servants who open up the door when he knocks, he will dress himself for service. Now, this is the same phrase we heard. Now, girding up your loins, same thing. You know, that's for when you run, but it's also for when a slave is getting ready to wash the feet of the master. And now the master is going to gird up his loins, have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. So the motivation for being ready, I mean, there's a motivation to avoid the embarrassment and punishment of not being ready. But then Jesus quickly moves to this picture that is wacky. It's just wacky. Like, what kind of a master is coming home after partying at a wedding, coming back in late, and what he does, the first thing, is get down on his knees to serve his servants? That's crazy. Have you ever had a boss that was like going to do that, like when he was really tired? And was, no, nobody does, because Jesus isn't like any earthly ruler or leader. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And this is like the mind-blowing, deepest thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ that goes far beyond anything that we could ask or imagine. Is that Jesus Christ not only comes to earth, lives among us, suffers as a frail human being, being God, not only goes to the cross to suffer in the place of sinners to the fullest extent and bear the wrath of God and truly die, ascend to heaven, lead his church, send the Spirit to guide us day by day. Not only that, is that when he comes, he is coming to serve his faithful servants. But that's just bonkers. Like, how in the world do we serve a God that says, hey, servants, I am going to throw you a party. Now, I mean, just being freed from death and like being freed from all the negative things, you think like that would be probably enough to be like, hey, you know, I'm in on this whole Jesus thing. But here's like one more. Like, I'm here for the party. Like, if all of that is not enough, how about just do it for sheer mercenary pleasure? Like, everybody likes pleasure. Everybody likes great things. Everyone's looking for like a vacation to get away now. Like, here it is. Jesus Christ is offering the greatest food and drink to relax, to be waited upon by God himself for those who are faithful servants. And that's just a crazy, insane picture. But this is the gospel that not only saves us, but offers us even more when we are faithful to him. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. Now, by all accounts, the early church was very expectant of Jesus' return very quickly. And yet there are hints in the Bible and places that it would be some time. And here's one of them. The second or third watch is, either if it's a Jewish or Hebrew thing, it's late. A Jewish or a Roman thing, it's late into the night. So Jesus is going to come later than maybe you expect, but he will come. And blessed are those servants that even 2,000 years are still expectantly looking to him and running after the dawn. We know we are closer than when we first believed. And Jesus gives a second picture, which is, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect. We need to be ready at all times. Now, if you know me very much, you know that I get a little cynical at the end times prophets. That every time a bomb goes off somewhere, every time there's an earthquake, or like, okay, Jesus is coming back, like this is the thing. Look at the sign, earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars is what Jesus said, the Olivet Discourse. And I get a little cynical, I'm just like, heard this one before, I've read history books, you should have seen what they were writing in World War I. You know, there was a climactic battle between like the Ottoman Empire and the Britain in the place of Armageddon in World War I? You know, think of the end times buffs were saying then. But this is the thing. All of these things, and I think maybe it's designed this way, that every single war breaks out in the Middle East, every single earthquake, every single cataclysmic event, like a global pandemic, is a reminder that things change drastically, and yes, Jesus is going to bring the biggest change of all. So every time you flip on the news, you know, I don't need to be an end times prognosticator, but I know this. You see those things, and it's a reminder of Jesus' words, and know this, things change. Jesus is going to bring the biggest change, so be ready, light your torch, and run towards the dawn. Then Peter said, now this is the exegetical part of this passage that you got to pay attention to because it's important. Lord, are you telling this parable for us? As like the 12 disciples whom Jesus was principally talking to at the beginning of this discourse, or for all? Now, if you'll notice, Jesus doesn't say yes or no here, which is typical of Jesus. But he does give us an answer, because his next statement is going to be addressed to the stewards, or the manager. Now, the manager of the servants was someone who watched over the servants, and all the illustrations before deal with the servants themselves. And this tells us that when Jesus was speaking these first things, he was speaking principally to the servants representing all Christians. He's saying it to all. This next part, he's saying to the stewards, which he's talking to, guess who he's talking to? Everybody can point. He's talking to leaders, church leaders. So this next couple passages speaking specifically to warnings to church leaders about Jesus' return. Now, all of us have some measure of leadership in different places, and the measure of leadership we have, well, we'll read Jesus' words and you can let that convict you. Verse 42. And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager or steward whom his master will set over his household or his church to give them their portion of food at the proper time? And I think food here is really referring to like the word of God. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. For those who have a position over others, they need to be particularly careful. James warns us that not many of you should become teachers because they will be judged with a stricter judgment. And in these passages, we will see that judgment in clear detail. Now, the promise is that people who are faithful stewards, faithful leaders in the church, that God will give them great reward. And it's always like, we don't know exactly how these things look, but boy, it's going to be good. But on the other side, but if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and he begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. We're going to have three different types of unfaithful servants here, and here we have the worst kind. And while this is a warning to leaders, this is a warning to all of us in the church to be on our guard against such leaders who abuse authority. And one thing that actually it kind of concerns me about the organization of the Christian Missionary Alliance churches is that they give the pastor way too much authority. Like, I read the Constitution, I'm like, this is crazy. So one thing we're working as elders is to try to balance out some of that power in our own bylaws to make leadership more accountable to the congregation, because it can be a great temptation to lord power over other people. And we want to take every step to make sure, and if you're in some place in a Christian mission, you see people with a domineering attitude, warn them. It's far better you warn them, and then maybe they'll probably just get mad at you or something, which happens. But at least you warn them, because the punishment here, cut to ribbons, or cut in two is probably the most literal rendering, is very serious. The second is eat and drink and get drunk. And that's obviously leaders who use their position for their own pleasure or simply to enrich themselves. That's why I warn, like, if you're going to follow some pastor on TV, like, Google what their house looks like and if they own a private jet. If they're living in a mansion and they're flying a private jet around, turn them off. I don't even care if they're preaching good, sound doctrine. Turn them off. They're getting rich off the fat of the lambs. I don't want to hear from them. Not even a word. Sell your possessions. Get back to me. Now, the warning is stark, and it's a warning to me. But cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. As a leader who does such things is not a believer, has no share in Christ, will not be saved. Now we have two more servants, and this gets to the interesting part that's a little, when we read it the first time, we're like, what's going on there? Well, first we recognize we're talking about leaders who will judge more strictly. And so this is the second kind. And that servant who knew his master's will, he knew what God wanted, but did not get ready or act according to his will, and so wasn't faithful in leading the ministry God called him to or her to, will receive a severe beating. Now, I think this means this person is actually still saved. Now, it's weird to think about a saved person getting a severe beating, but this is actually exactly what Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians 3, 12 to 15. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, speaking of the different ministries of Apollos and Peter and Paul, Each one's work will become manifest, for the day of judgment, will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation, that of Jesus Christ, survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. I think that's what the beating's talking about. Though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Now, I really don't know how it's going to look, but that's for God. He'll do justly. For us, leaders, to be faithful doing God's work, because even though you might be saved, there is this warning. And then, but the one who did not know and did what deserved the beating will receive a light beating. I don't know what a light beating looks like either. But there have been Christian leaders, and there are still today. I went to Nepal, meet sort of an uneducated pastor from this place, and they're doing some stuff, and I'm like, I wouldn't really recommend doing that. This gives me pause to be like, there are people with more or less knowledge. God will judge justly. And my job is to correct where I can and to leave things to God. And this often gives me other denominations, God will sort them out. Sure, the Anglicans are wrong, but, I'll give my warning when I can, not to pick out anybody in particular. I was looking down at some people who were Anglicans, but because everyone whom much was given, of him much will be required. So you've got lots of knowledge, you have fancy seminary degree, God's going to require that you're faithful with that. And from him whom they entrusted much, that's people they entrusted to, they will demand the more. Which is a warning to people who've been given large ministries to be faithful to it. So our point, very simple, to be ready. Jesus is coming soon. Would it be ready by actively pursuing God's will, running towards the dawn, letting our light shine by being faithful to be good works? If you're stuck in some sin now, it's better to repent today than when Jesus shows up. Looking toward a heavenly reward, because the gospel gives you and then promises even more. And even for leaders to remember. And the final thing is just, it can be hard to keep expectancy up, especially when it's been a long time. When I was a kid, I played baseball. And I was so great that they stuck me out in right field. If you're baseball, that's where it gets hit the least. Yeah, I had a pretty good arm, not very accurate. I did throw it over the backstop once from right field. It's pretty good. And I would sit out there in right field, and man, it was hard. It was hard to pay attention. So easy to get distracted and you start shuffling. I was playing hardball, and all of a sudden, once, just like crack, line drive, like right at my face, and I'm just sort of like, and I got caught miraculously. You have to know as you're sitting there that, like, the ball is coming, and it's going to be quicker than you expect. And so the only way to be ready is to be ready all the time. Jesus is returning. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you would ready our hearts to be reminded every day, whether that reminder comes in an earthquake or a thing on the news or some new terror, that in all things, whenever we see trouble, we would think, Jesus is coming soon. Am I ready? Help me to be ready. We look to you, Lord God. Lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. I call up the worship team.